Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Zeddy, thank you so much for joining me on the Organize 365 podcast.
You're welcome. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, we were just talking before you got started about how your journey with Organize 365 really hasn't been that long. How did you originally find Organize 365?
So back in June, my family and I moved back to Wisconsin from Alaska. And I realized, so we're a bit of a nomadic traveling family for the last 5 years at least. And I realized that we were going to be in one place for probably about 9 years in the minimum, because my daughters want to go to school for high school in one place. They don't want to travel and, you know, that sort of thing anymore. And so we said that would be fine. So that means we are staying in one place for 9 years. And I realized this was a perfect opportunity to get organized. So I started searching for podcasts. I'm a big podcast listener, and searching for podcasts and found yours and instantly enjoyed it. So.
Oh, that's so cool. Who lives with you and your family? You mentioned having kids.
Right. So it's my husband, Lou, and my three daughters. My eldest is 14. Then I have an 11-year-old and then a 9-year-old.
And did you say Wisconsin or Michigan?
Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. What made you settle on Wisconsin for 9 years?
This is where, so we live in the house that my husband grew up in.
Okay.
In Wisconsin, and it's actually the house that his father grew up in. There's a legacy here. This is our home base. It has been. And so we just travel. We're sailors. So we have a sailboat and we go travel but we always come back to the same place.
Okay. I just have to ask because everybody is wondering, and I always wanted to be someone who, first of all, I want to travel a lot, but I just find the whole nomadic lifestyle fascinating. Like, what do you want to share with us about it? Tell us everything you want to tell us.
I think my children will probably have a hard time staying in one place because raise them. I don't know, maybe not, or they'll go the opposite direction and never want to leave the same town ever again. My husband and I, you can tell I have an English accent. So we met when we were both crews on different sailboats sailing around the world 20 years ago and fell in love. And then we both knew that if we had children, we would want to take them sailing because it's such an amazing experience to travel by sailboat and see the world and meet the people and the cultures and stuff like that. And so, yeah, so we started when my eldest was 8, my youngest was 3, and we bought a new boat in France and went to pick up the boat in France, and we traveled for 6 months. We went up into the Arctic and Greenland and came home, tried to homeschool the kids, which is very interesting, but you know, it's something that everyone's dealing with right now. But we started that on our sailboat. It's just an amazing experience. And the kids just have some very unique personality traits, strengths that come, I think, from that experience and meeting new people and also are very close. They're very close. And our family is very close because of the experience of that. So
my podcast editor, they live in an RV and they travel around the United States, and she's always homeschooled, but now they're homeschooling on the road. And I'm fascinated by that as well. Like I'm just fascinated by it. How many countries have you been to?
Personally?
Yeah.
Well, so with the kids, we went, let's think about this. We went to France and then to the UK and visited a lot of my family in the UK. And then we went up through Scotland to the Faroe Islands, which is a Danish protectorate. And we went to Iceland and then Greenland and then Newfoundland in Canada. And then we decided we wanted to sail in Alaska, because it's just beautiful. And so we shipped the boat across the country on a truck. to Seattle, and then road tripped out to Seattle and picked up the boat, put it back together again because it had been dismantled, and then a little bit. And then, so that took about 2 weeks in Seattle, living on a boat that's like a work site. And then we took off and we sailed up through British Columbia and to Alaska. And then when we got to Alaska, we realized that, so summer is a very relatively short period of time in Alaska. Yes. So we realized we wanted to see more of Alaska by boat. So we actually got off the boat and rented an apartment in a small town in Alaska and stayed there for the winter. And then put the kids in the local school and had the experience of living in Alaska for the winter. And then went back to the boat after Memorial Day weekend and took off again and sailed south to Canada. Wow. And that was we came back 2019, put the kids in school here in Wisconsin for the first semester, and then pulled them out again and took them to Alaska again. This time not by boat. This time we just flew to Alaska because we loved it so much. We wanted to be back for the winter and have another winter there. So,
wow. Are you and your husband self-employed?
So my husband is. He's also a volunteer firefighter and EMT. So he, wherever he goes, he kind of can dial in with the local department. Does that? I'm a physical therapist. I'm currently self-employed now. But when we were traveling, I just took a leave of absence from the clinic that I was working in. And I have a very understanding boss who knows my lifestyle and knows I'll always come back. So...
You know, I just love hearing your story because it just speaks to what is possible. Like I think about living in my house for 25 years and, you know, there are a lot of creature comforts of home and things that I expect, but when you really think, cause I've really thought all the way down the rabbit trail of doing it, haven't done it, about how many things you don't need if you're going to live a nomadic lifestyle. Like, you don't need a house, you don't need a mortgage, you don't need a car, you don't need, like, a lot of my everyday expenses, you don't need a cable subscription, you know, like, that take up our money and our time now, that money isn't needed. So either you do or don't need that money when you're also living the nomadic lifestyle. Like, you can do it for a lot less money than you think.
Yes, absolutely. What's interesting though is from an organizational point of view, I can be really organized on a boat.
Yeah.
Everything has to be labeled. Everything has a place. You have to be able to find things in an emergency situation. When we sailed to the Arctic, I had to stop the boat for 7 people for 3 months.
Wow.
Anticipated.
How did you do that?
Right. Well, so what we did was, it's so funny when I think about it that I can do that when I'm on a boat, but when I'm in a house where there's a grocery store 5 minutes drive away, it's much harder for me. So we made a plan for like a 14 day meal plan. And then we multiplied that out for weeks as we needed. And then we figured out for each meal, how much of each ingredient we would use to make this meal. And then we figured out quantities of stuff. So, you know, we're talking baking bread, treats, kids stuff, you name it. And I mean, the people at the grocery store in Scotland when we went grocery shopping must have thought we were insane because we had like 3 giant carts just piled high.
And I'm thinking only 3 giant carts, I would need like a bus.
Yes.
I mean, the amount of stuff.
We didn't do all of it in one go, I have to say. Because that would have been really insane. But as it turned out, the grocery stores in Greenland were well stocked, but very expensive. So you buy a head of cabbage for $10, you know,
and
things like that. So we were well stocked up, but we managed, and I planned on not being able to get fresh fruit and vegetables potentially, because I just didn't know.
Right.
But we could get a few fresh items. But it was kind of insane.
And how big is the sailboat? Because I'm thinking, like, my great uncle had a sailboat. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't put that on the Atlantic Ocean, I could tell you that. But I mean, it's not like the Titanic. Like, how big are these? Is it like the size of an RV? Like,
yeah, so it's 45 foot long. And it had the ability to sleep, I want to say 8 people. At one point, we did have 8 people. The difficulty is you can sleep people, but then trying to have them awake and moving around, especially in bad weather where nobody's sitting outside or whatever. Mm-hmm. it was too many. We did take two adult friends along with us because the kids were so small. We knew we needed to have enough people
to stay on the boat
and look after the kids. Somebody had to always be on kind of kid duty, you know?
Well, yeah, you're in the ocean.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, occupying them, keeping them busy, feeding them. They were constantly eating, you know, put them in a small environment. And I'm hungry was like, yeah. It was a full-time yeah. job. So.
Yeah. But how fun is that to be the friends that get to go on the boat? Like, that's pretty cool. Did they stay with you the whole 5 years?
No. So, and we did it. We were off and on. So they came to us in Scotland and left us in Canada.
Okay.
And everything else, either side of that, those were the portions where we knew we had long passages across. So it was a 10-day passage from Iceland to Greenland and another 10-day passage from Greenland to Canada. And you have to have somebody sailing 24/7 then. Mm. So it's like shifts. And
that makes sense.
So that was when we really needed them. We could manage the boat and the kids pretty well when we were coastal cruising. And certainly by the time we were going to Alaska, and the youngest was 6, she was very comfortable and knew she followed the rules for safety and all that kind of stuff. And we didn't have to worry about, you know, having anyone on hand for that. But of course the homeschooling again was interesting.
Yes, but I mean, think about the education your children have had.
Right.
Well, it's incredible.
I always, you know, people would hear that we were doing this and they'd say, oh my God, I don't think I could handle the homeschooling. I'm like, you know what? I can handle the homeschooling traveling because so much is done for you just by going to a new environment.
Yes.
You know, find the local library, find the local museums, talk to local people. Look at the charts, look at the weather. There's so many learning yeah. opportunities. The kids don't even know they're learning.
The cooking.
Yeah.
Figuring out how much food you need. How many Twinkies do you want to have when we're in Alaska? Do the math. How much ingredients do we need for chocolate chip cookies? More.
Exactly.
More ingredients.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's just I just had to know. And I know that everybody else listening is also like, oh, I want to know more about that. Like, do you get that all the time?
I do. Sometimes I don't tell people about it.
Yeah. Cause you don't want to have a half an hour conversation.
As you can, my accent is something that I literally can go in the gas station and pay for a gallon of milk. And I will get asked my life story and what I'm doing in Wisconsin because of my accent, you know, and it's like, sometimes I just want, people will say, well, how come you're here? And I'm like, well, I married somebody from Wisconsin. And then they want to know, well, how did you meet? I'm like, well, in a bar, because I don't want to give the whole story because it's just too much. Like, there's only so many times.
See, we're very friendly, curious people.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
That's the great thing about Wisconsin. When I moved here was that I was very comfortable. Everyone was open and welcome.
Yeah, everybody wants to be your best friend.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The Midwest, it's a good place to be from.
Definitely.
Okay, so your actual story is not how to organize a sailboat, although I'm very fascinated, was moving back into a house on land.
Yes.
And you decided you needed to work on getting organized. So why did you decide to start? What time of year of it? What did you do first?
So it was June. We moved back after the kids were done virtual schooling in Alaska. And it was so funny because while we were in Alaska and everything shut down, we'd watch Facebook and see all these people doing all these projects on their houses and getting organized. And we were sitting in a rental apartment. We'd call it the box because we flew there with a duffel bag worth of stuff each. And that was it. So we had nothing to do. We tried to persuade the kids we should fly home early because the two main things we loved about the community in Alaska was the school. It's fantastic. It's a K-8 with like 200 kids in it and just really amazing teachers. So we loved the school. The kids loved their friends. All that was taken away. And the ski mountain. It was a ski resort town and we're all skiers. So I'm an adaptive ski instructor. And nice. So I was teaching all winter and my husband's a ski patroller. So he is ski patrolling and all that got taken away. So all our reasons for being in Alaska, apart from the fact that it's a beautiful community and wonderful people and the scenery is fantastic. there was nothing there for us anymore, pretty much. But the kids were determined. They wanted to stay till June because we'd always said we were going to stay till June. So then we came back here. And so when we moved into this house, I had a 10-month-old and a 2-year-old. So instantly, things weren't properly organized when we moved in.
Right.
Then I had another child 2 years later. And then I went through postpartum depression after my third, which was very hard. Then when the third was three, well, when the third was like 18 months, we started planning our big trip. So then we were off and on here, 6 months there, you know, gone. And just stuff never got organized. And I got really good at avoiding dealing with the piles of stuff. There was stuff just the other day, I went into our office space and pulled open a drawer and my parents-in-law's cell phones, the flip phones, there were like five of them and all the wires that you could possibly need and all. And there's still areas of our house that have my parents-in-law's stuff in it that they didn't clear out because they knew it was just us moving in. And so I've never had an opportunity in the last 15 years to get organized till now. But I'm really good at decluttering. If you think of me as somebody who can live out of a duffel bag for 6 months at a time, the capsule wardrobe thing is a lifestyle for me. It's not anything unusual. So I'm really good at decluttering. My husband is not. He is a hoarder. I mean, like not clinically a hoarder, but he has stuff that, and it doesn't bother him. It doesn't bother him to be surrounded by clutter. Whereas I think I'm a more visual person. So when I see that, I start getting this like stress response. So it was an interesting start to the summer. But when the first thing I did was grab a basket. I had an extra basket and I just put it and called it my Sunday basket. And then, because I always used to operate with a pile, like you always talk about, a pile in the kitchen of all the important stuff that I had to keep track of. And then it was like this, like wave, like digging through, trying to find something. Yeah. So that really helped me because instantly I knew where that kind of stuff was. But every single podcast that I've listened to has given me something along the way that I'm like, she's talking to me.
Yes, I am. I'm talking directly to you because I feel like, I mean, maybe I'm a little crazy. But when I record my podcast, like I am thinking of you, like I'm thinking of having a conversation with you. I'm not thinking about teaching a lesson or speaking from a stage or recording a book. Like I seriously am thinking about just sitting next to you on the couch or standing next to you in the kitchen, like, and talking to you, like we're having a conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's how it feels. And I've been going through the back catalog as well as the stuff that comes out each week. And I don't know. Sometimes I pick stuff and I'm thinking, oh, I'm not going to, this is not about me. This is not my kind of, and then I'm like, oh my gosh, that does apply. There is always something that applies to me, which is just astounding. Like I listened to the Hot Mess Room thing and I went, because we don't have a basement and we don't have an attic. We have a flat roofed house and very little storage, but we did actually build an extra storage room on because we had this storage issue, but it is our hot mess room. So I listened to a podcast, I can't remember when, maybe October, November, about the hot mess room. And I just dived into my hot mess room and just pulled everything out and started organizing. And it's not perfect. It's going to take more work, but it's better. So I can find stuff, you know?
Yes. When was the first time that you like noticed something was organized that hadn't been organized before?
I mean, within a week or two of putting that basket out for my Sunday basket, I could find the schedule for sailing school or whatever it was that we were going through that I needed to find. So that was the very first time. And then a couple of weeks ago, so when we moved, when we took off for Alaska in 2018, spring of 2018, my niece, who is a nurse, moved into our house to help us kind of keep it. Rather than locking it up for potentially 18 months. So she moved in, it helped her save some money. She's 25 and saved some money. She could, you know, now she just bought a new house partly because of that. And so she knows all my dirty little secrets of where I hide stuff. And she's very organized when she's in other people's houses. She probably would make an excellent organizer because she loves to organize other people's stuff. But she says she is personally very disorganized. Huh. But I think that's not the case. I think she just doesn't necessarily put in the time for herself that she does for others, which, of course, she's a nurse. So, you know, it goes with the personality trait. But the other day she was over and I was talking about Organize 365 and how I'd been working my way through doing all these things. And she said, oh, my gosh, because she moved in to look after our kids when we took a trip just recently. She said, you know what? I thought something was going on. The kitchen, I could find everything. Everything was where it should be. Like, I could find everything without any trouble. And I was like, yes. Da, da, da.
How cool is that?
Yeah. Yeah. Coming from her, it was a real kind of compliment. And the fact that she really noticed was amazing. So,
yeah. And it's not often that you get that kind of feedback on your kitchen, because who has somebody living in their house to give feedback on their kitchen?
Right, exactly. Yeah. Well, and she's previously moved in for a weekend to look after the kids when we take off for a weekend together. And I'm sure the change over the last sort of 6 months obviously made a difference to her. She could find what she was looking for. So that felt really good.
So what has happened since you started this journey of organizing in the last 6 months that you didn't expect to happen?
Okay. So I started my own physical therapy business.
Yay!
I never, like, my husband, whenever I'd talk about working and all this kind of stuff, my husband would always say, why don't you just start your own business, have your own clients? Because I would, you know, maybe I'd be complaining about insurance companies or schedules or whatever it was. And he'd say, just start your own business. Do it for yourself. And for the last, I don't know how many years, whenever a friend of mine has like a bad back or a problem, I'll say, oh, just come over and I'll treat you. I'll help you out with that, rather than have them go through the process of seeing a doctor and all that kind of stuff. So, but I always used to say, I'm a worker bee. I am not a leader. I just want to show up and do my job. And because the thing I love about my work is the actual hands-on work. So I was really reluctant to start my own business, but I was listening to your... It's all your fault.
I know.
I was listening to your podcast, Is COVID a Golden Window? Mm. And I realized it was for me. I had multiple golden windows stacking up. So the fact this time with us moving home was a golden window, whereby it was a new start of time where I wasn't going to be leaving in 6 months. And my kids are at an age where they're pretty good at being independent. I'm more of an overseer than a hands-on now for the first time in a long time. And COVID has changed how we operate in the world. And so every time I listen to you talking about COVID, a lot of those things ring true for me. The fact that we now know that we can order anything to be delivered to our house instantly sprung to mind that I'm going to be a mobile PT. So I go to people's homes
nice.
And take my massage table with me and I go and do PT for them in their own home. So either if they're reluctant to go out into the community to clinics because of the risk of COVID, I can come to them. But also so many people living at home, working at home, would have to take a big chunk of time out if they had to deal with going to a clinic, waiting in the waiting room, getting your appointment, and then driving home. That takes like half a day to do one appointment, basically.
Right.
So that was clear to me that COVID was a golden window for me because it suddenly became a really good idea to be a mobile PT.
I've never heard of a mobile PT. I've heard of a mobile vet and things like that. And I could literally hear aha moments happening as you were speaking, like people going, oh, that's it. Like, I know that there are some people that just listen to this podcast and they want to thank you, Zeddy, because they're like, that's the piece I couldn't put together And now it's going to be your fault that yeah. they're successful and have their own businesses too. I love this being my fault, and you're going to love it being your fault too.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the funny thing was, is mobile PT a thing? Like, I think it is, you know? So I started Googling, and all of a sudden I realized there are a ton of people all over the country doing exactly what I'm talking about.
Wow.
So there's home health. You can have, mm-hmm. when you get sick in the hospital or you have a major health issue, if you return home and you're homebound mm-hmm. officially, that means you can't go out to your appointments. You can't, mm-hmm. you know, you're not popping around the community. You're homebound. You can have home care PT. But as soon as you're able to get out and about, you then have to go to the clinic.
Right.
And this is very different. And I, to be honest, I do not deal with Medicare, which I wish there was a way that I could, but they just, for a single person, it's just a really hard to use in do any kind of insurance or Medicare. But they require you to then, as soon as you're able to actually get out in the community, you have to go to a clinic for your PT. So by bypassing Medicare, by bypassing insurance companies, I can actually do whatever I want. Mm-hmm. And when I say whatever I want, whatever the patient needs, whatever my clients right. really need. So I'll spend an hour with each of my clients every single time I see them, working with them and really giving them what they need, because I'm mm-hmm. independent and I just love that.
Yeah. Are you cash-based, non-insurance?
I am. So I'm out of network. Mm-hmm. So if somebody wants to put me towards their deductible or I can give them an invoice and they can take that to their insurance company yep. and try and get the money back. But I'm basically cash-based.
Yeah,
which means I'm working for the insurance companies, which I just love.
Right. And I mean, with my kids, we did use our insurance. We had very good insurance, but a lot of what we did, I just paid out of pocket. I just paid cash and used mm-hmm. private people for whatever services that we needed. I think sometimes when there's public education, when there's healthcare that you pay for, you forget that you still can hire tutors. You still can pay out of network. To get what you need for your family if the resources are available. And usually you can find what you need for what you need. Right. Just keep that in mind. Love that idea.
I find that more and more, I've been a PT for 25 years, and more insurance companies and Medicare are paying for less and less.
Yep.
And people aren't necessarily getting the care that they need. Mm-hmm. And so they're living in pain, or they're yes. living on pain meds, or they're living yep. with the fear of injuring again. And one of the other things I do is I do a wellness program for people, individualized wellness programs for people who might be living with chronic disease or pain, who don't want to just go to a gym because they're terrified they're going to re-injure or yep. make life worse for themselves. And so that's one of my favorite things to do, because everyone's unique, everyone's an individual, and looking at them as an individual and figuring out exactly what they need just brings me so much joy. So,
yes, Abby has congenital spinal stenosis.
Mm-hmm.
So the discs are smaller inside than they're supposed to be or something like that. And she has herniated discs. Mm-hmm. So yeah, she wants to work out. She needs to work out. She's afraid of hurting herself. She's had some great physical therapists along the way. And we finally found one that was out of network that really was able to speak to her and help her get relief. So sometimes you just have to go where the person is that has the answer.
Mm-hmm.
Not all therapists, not all doctors are created equal.
Right. And just being able to spend more time with my clients and give them the connection that they really need and the attention mm-hmm. and really listen. Has been a real joy for me. So I'm thrilled. I'm so excited that COVID was my golden window. I really hope that people will continue to see my services as being worthwhile after COVID's gone. I think they will. I think there are a lot of mobile PTs out there that have been doing it for a long time.
Mm.
Not in my area. I don't think anyone in my area. That's the amazing thing. I was like, well, I should check my local area, see if I'm, you know, if there's five mobile PTs, I'm not going to
yeah.
be in. But there's not. So that's great.
You know, and your business kind of matches the pandemic, because the pandemic has made everyone slow down. Mm-hmm. And if resources have become limited during the pandemic, we're choosing what's best, choosing what's most important, choosing what's most long lasting. And so they're getting more service from you than they would have in the past in a clinic, a longer session, a more intimate session, a more individualized session. And I think that that is going to stay at least for the couple of years after the pandemic has gone, while it's still fresh in our memory. We've had to choose, like, what is the most important? What is worth the risk of exposure and what is not? How do we want to spend our time? How do we want to spend our resources? And doing, you know, more of less.
Right. And I think at the beginning of the pandemic, I think we were all kind of in that stress response, like, oh my gosh, we're locked down, we can't go anywhere, yeah. It stinks, you know, I'm going to drink every day and sit around in my PJ kind of thing, you know, and because it was theoretically in our eyes, it was like, this is just a short period of our life. And as time went on, yeah. It was like, oh my gosh, it's been 6 months and I sit on the couch every day. And I think a lot of people weren't getting things that weren't emergent looked at and checked out, and they were just living. But as you live, the longer you live with pain, the longer you live without exercising, it's kind of a downward spiral and gets worse and worse. And so I'm really hoping that as we're kind of adjusting to a new norm, whatever mm-hmm. that norm may be, hopefully that's going to change again. But, you know, we've adjusted a little bit now and we're operating in this time to the best of our abilities. People are thinking, okay, well, I still have that bad back, and now I've gained an extra 20 pounds. It's even worse. I need, I need to deal with this. And self-care has been something that I've heard a lot of people talking about. And that is not just a medical thing or mm-hmm. cosmetic thing. It's like a very mental. Important mental and
mental.
Emotional. Yeah, absolutely.
And your podcast is going to air during quarter one of 2021, which mm-hmm. is not going to be a fabulous quarter for the pandemic, sure. if we're keeping score. But I really feel like as we get to the spring and we hit the 1 year mark and we go into, you know, month 13 and 14, and we start to go into the second summer, there's going to be a rebirth. Like, we've been through a whole season of the pandemic. We've been through a whole season of being safe at home. We're reprioritizing. We're going to hit the seasons a second time. And we're going to really say, okay, now that I've experienced a full 12 to 14 months, mm-hmm. what do I want to keep? What do I want to let go? I think a lot of people like me who did not walk last spring and summer because we were just busy, I don't know, making sure our businesses didn't fail, will get out. And a lot of the exercising you saw last time will be multiplied by people who didn't do it the first time. They'll be like, oh, it's spring. This is when we walk outside. Summer is when we, you know, plant a vegetable garden. Like, there's some things that maybe we didn't do last summer, we watched other people do, that we will go ahead and do, that are more, you know, slower life, healthier mm-hmm. life, outdoor life, taking the time to do some of those things, enjoying, you know, grilling out outside, sitting outside, reading a book, mm-hmm. you know, I'm thinking of things from the 50s.
The good stuff.
It won't stay that way forever. I mean, come on. Once we can get out.
I'm hoping to see, so I'm obsessed with seeing people out exercising. Like, I'm the weird lady in our community that when I see a family out biking, I wave frantically as I'm driving. Or people
hello,
walk
people.
Me, like, hi.
Hi, but, people.
Because I'm so excited to see more people doing that. I'm looking up themselves and doing it as a family and mm-hmm. activities like that. And so I'm interested to see come spring, because obviously not mm-hmm. that many people anymore are out running and biking in Wisconsin right now.
No.
But I am. And every time I see another runner or a biker, I wave again frantically, because I'm like, I know you. You're getting
there's out. That crazy English lady. Yeah,
exactly. Little do they, I don't think they even know that I'm a crazy English lady. I'm a crazy lady.
What other unexpected events have you had in the last 6 months as you've been on this organizing journey?
So it's been really fun to introduce my kids to the concepts. I have to admit that I just recently got the actual Sunday basket. I think it arrived after Christmas, just after Christmas. And I set it up and I put it, And I said to my youngest, so I was explaining to what it was about. And I said, so I just put stuff in here that I want to deal with on Sunday, add to my list of things to do and whatever. So if you have anything that you want me to get, just write me a note, stick it in, or put whatever it is in the basket area. And so the very next day I walked around the corner and there was this giant empty bag, you know, from Costco.
Yeah.
Snap pea crisps or whatever. It's a mega bag from Costco. And it was just sitting in my right over the top of my Sunday basket. I'm like, okay, I guess we need more snap peas. Okay, add it to my list.
I'm telling you, kids pick up real quick. Did you see the little note that is in the Sunday Basket Club right now? The child wrote the note that says, get another dog, please. It's not a magic wishing basket, but I mean, the notes are precious the kids put in Sunday baskets.
Yes, definitely. And then, so the kids program, we haven't done the kids program, but I listened to the podcasts because I wanted, we moved my middle daughter. This is actually her bedroom I'm sitting in. We moved her into what used to be the old playroom when we came back because the playroom was just not being used at all anymore, all of a sudden. So we moved her in here. And so now they each have their own space, which is great. Cause previously the younger two were sharing for basically their entire lives. Which was great because on the boat they also had to share. So
yeah.
So they each have their own space and they're each very much different individuals. So I listened to the podcast and then I cornered my younger two and sat them down and said, okay, here is a plan for how you can tidy your bedroom. And I went through the trash, plates and dishes, and explain, you know, pick up all the dirty laundry, start a load. They all do their own laundry now, most of the time, which is great because I don't have to deal with a 14-year-old saying, I need my leggings, not my black leggings, not those ones, but the other ones. She has like-
Yes, right, black 18 leggings. Black leggings.
Very specific. And all I have to say is like, I'm sorry, I have you done your laundry recently? Is it maybe under your bed? And it's absolutely not my problem anymore. And I love that.
Yes.
Because with three girls, that's a lot of laundry. So, but the younger two really picked up on the program. They instantly can tidy their bedroom whenever they need to. I am not a stickler for it being done every single weekend because I want them to be able to appreciate, okay, oh, my bedroom is a disaster. I can't XYZ. I need to tidy it and figure out a time. I mean, I'll help them figure out a time when it might be a good idea because they can't always see the blocks of time that they need. And the other thing is sometimes I'll go in to their room and I will zip through in like 15 minutes and make a huge difference. And I'll tell them, this was done in 15 minutes. If you took 15 minutes, and we'll talk about how many blocks of 15 minutes they have between when they come home from school and when they go to bed or, you know, those kind of things. So that they can see it's not a huge chunk of time. Yeah. I mean, this is all stuff I learned from you. So like
but it's cool to hear how you're implementing it.
Yes. My eldest, she's 14. Mm-hmm. So that tells you a lot about that scenario. She knows now how to, we talked about it as well. She knows how to do it. She is not that bothered by living in a messy room.
Yep.
But when she has friends coming over, or, you know, at the moment it's basically just her cousin, but when she has somebody coming over, she can get it into a decent state and she does do her own laundry. So that is a benefit. But so, yeah.
That's why bedrooms have doors on them.
Right. Unfortunately, in our house, so our house is, I mentioned it was flat roofed. It's also really open plan, except for the bedrooms. So the one room in our house that I really don't have much control over is my husband's office. He's always worked from home for the last 10 years. And it is open to the front hallway. It is the first room that you see when you walk through my front door, and it is a disaster. So, but as you say, you can't control other people, right? The only person you can control is yourself. And so I make little gentle suggestions when he's feeling amenable to those kind of suggestions. But I mean, he lives like that. And it doesn't bother him to spend a whole bunch of time. He knows kind of where everything is. He's definitely a big picture kind of guy. And so he knows that the thing that he's looking for is in this pile over here. And for whatever reason, he's quite comfortable just going through finding until he finds the thing that he needs to find.
Well, you know, 6 months from now, I would anticipate he's either going to spontaneously want to clean and organize his office and you are going to be floored, or he never is. And yeah. Either way, the rest of your house is going to be organized.
So he did have to find something the other day, and he started organizing his papers into piles.
Yeah.
Those piles of papers stayed on the floor of the office, which you walk through to get to the garage. So it was like walking around, I mean, weeks, we're talking weeks. And finally, I purposely trod on a few of them with my dirty feet to leave footprints to see if he'd even notice and be like, oh, my stuff is getting walked on. He didn't even bother him. And finally I said, you know what, honey, I nearly tripped. You have to clear this out because I can't function. We have to keep the pathway through to the.
Yeah. There must be a 3-foot wide aisle at all times.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
What do you have more of now?
Head space. Space to think. My brain is less addled. I'm able to plan. I'm able to run a business, which takes a lot of work and effort, and I'm learning new skills that I've in my 48 years of life have never had to use because somebody else has always done that kind of stuff for me, and still keep up with all my kids' needs, schooling wise, mm-hmm. and activities and all that kind of stuff. So that's huge. That is huge. That my brain, you know, the thing where you say what, because I write my ideas down and put them, that works for me. Like I am not constantly going, oh, I got to remember to do this, because if it needs to be done. So I have a pad that if it needs to be done the next couple of days, I write it down, and that is still in my kitchen. But I also have paper that I can write something on and tear it off in a scrap and put it into the Sunday basket. And that really clears out a lot of the chatter, the brain mm-hmm. chatter that is yep. so, makes you scattered.
And anxious.
Yes.
If you're forgetting something yes. and you yes. should be somewhere, but I don't know what it is. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you have less of?
On my answers for your thing, I said I have less whelm because I'm less overwhelmed. I mean,
I love that.
You know, right? I mean, like,
yes.
I there isn't a thing called whelm. You can be underwhelmed and you can be overwhelmed, but there's no whelm. But I have less whelm. I'm less overwhelmed.
We'll add that to the Organized 365 glossary.
Right.
Maybe another word that we made up.
So my mindset has changed substantially when I think about my home. And that is so huge. Because when I open up a cabinet that I never go into and I see how disorganized the stuff is, I just think, oh, I'll get to that. I have a positive attitude. I don't need to deal with that right away. It is not in my priority list. I can close the cupboard without getting that feeling, that overwhelming, like, oh, I'm feeling in the pit of my stomach. I am kinder to myself.
Yes.
It is huge. It is huge. I'm actually managing to run almost 5 miles now for the first time ever. I don't think I've ever run that much because I have a positive attitude towards so many things. And I think, you know, I can do anything for 15 minutes. And so I started a running program where you just build up slowly the amount that you run versus walk, the Couch to 5K program. And I did a 5K run and that felt amazing. And now I'm training for 10K. Wow. And so I have these goals, and like, I just, I, I love that I have the freedom to think about that stuff because I'm not being dragged down by the sense of failure. Like I how can I give up half an hour of my time to go run if I'm so disorganized? But being disorganized, I'm not, that half hour is not going to be spent getting organized. In the past, I would have just sat and wasted my time and stressed and worried and felt bad about myself. You know, I'm a physical therapist. I know why people should exercise and run, but I just felt like I didn't have the time to devote to me mm-hmm. as a human being, as an individual, versus all the other people that I take care of. But now I can take care of me.
You know, when I was in direct sales, I always observed, and I thought this was true, that the reason why women were not successful in direct sales was because they couldn't get their homes organized enough to give the direct sales the attention that it needed in order to grow, even for like a 5 or 10 hour a week business. Mm-hmm. And then I would meet other people who had businesses, and I would say, well, the reason why your business isn't thriving or you're not making it to the next level is because your home is disorganized. And they'd be like, yeah. You know, like organize the home later. It's like no big deal. But yet interview after interview, after interview, after interview, it really is not rocket science. If you get a Sunday basket, which empties out your brain so that you can have time to think, like you've only been doing this for 6 months. Mm-hmm. You've only been doing this for 6 months. 2 out of 3 of your kids are organizing their room on a regular basis. You have your brain back. You're proactive, not reactive. You're now running. You were never running before. You have a business, like so many things in such a short amount of time. It is amazing, but I truly still believe that the thing that starts it all is changing how you look at your home.
Right. And it's so funny because you mentioned the proactive versus reactive. I have lived a reactive life my entire life. That's Some of that is out of choice. I don't like to be scheduled. So I'm not a PT who works in a clinic who sees a new patient every 20 minutes, because the idea of being scheduled for the next 2 months, every 20 minutes of my working day, gives me like conniptions. Like I start, you know, having an anxiety attack about knowing what I'm going to be doing. I don't want to know when I start my day. I used to love working in hospitals because I'd show up. And who knew who had arrived overnight into the hospital who might need my skills? And as a physical therapist anyway, you can plan all you like for what you think you might see. But when somebody walks into you, you have to be thinking off the top of your head. Mm-hmm. And so my whole life, I've been that kind of a person. Of course, with sailing, who knows what the weather's going to be like in half an hour? You can listen to the weather forecast all you like. But it's a lot of like, okay, reacting in the moment. And I've really enjoyed being that kind of person. And right up until the time I had my kids, it was completely possible. And of course, my husband's totally reactive because he's a volunteer firefighting EMT. Yes. When his pager goes off, he's out the door and everything else is off the table until who knows when. Yeah. You know, so as a partner of that, I had to change my mindset quite substantially because like I would get pissed when he was, the kids were wanted to go trick or treating, but the baby was sleeping but I shifted my mindset to cope with that so that I knew that I could always do everything I needed to do for the kids by myself if that happened, mm-hmm. and that it was a bonus when he was home. And most of the time he is home. Most of the time, you know, for most of the things the kids need, he's home for. So I'm really blessed with that fact. But, you know, a reactive life can only get you so far.
It's a season. So
I've learned a lot of great time management and productivity skills from you, which it's so funny because I really wish I'd known a lot of this stuff when I first started out as a PT, because I just, you know, in interviews, when they ask you, so what is your best ability? What is your, the best thing you bring to this job? And what is the area that you struggle with? Every time I would answer, the area that I struggle with is time management and productivity. I am a great hands-on PT, but it may take me longer to get through everything I have to do. And I'm okay with that. I'll put in the extra time. I just, my organization skills are not good. But now I feel like I'm kind of getting there.
Yeah, so now you'll have no negative. Everything's good. I have no negatives now.
Well, now I don't need to answer those stupid questions.
Right, because you're self-employed. It's great. It's the best of all worlds, let me just tell you. So what is your next step?
In organization?
Yeah.
I am definitely a work in progress. I'm just going to keep on doing what I'm doing. I am going to listen to your podcast some more. I have your book, and I need to do some more reading on that. And I have to get my 2.0 pocket set up properly. I'm starting to use them, but I also need to figure out some kind of workbox-ish type thing for my business. Mm-hmm. It's still fairly small, a small business, but I feel like that system is a good system for my business. So it may be just another Sunday basket, because my business doesn't really fit into any of the areas that you have yours. So maybe just a Sunday basket with some slash pockets and figure that out as I go along.
Yeah.
But I would like to do the 100-day program, but I feel like I'm kind of just working my way. Whenever I do the 15 minutes a day thing. Like if I have 15 minutes, some days I'll start doing 15 minutes and those 15 minutes will drag. Like I really don't want to be doing this. And then other days I will go over, like I'll start doing, say I'm going to do 15 minutes and just keep going for another hour and a half. It just really depends on my mental state. And I'm accepting of the fact that there are some days where it's just not going to happen. And some days I'm going to be super good at getting stuff organized. So
yeah, just following your energy.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Well, before we go, Zeddy, is there any advice that you would give to someone who is just starting out?
Oh, you have to just give yourself grace. Mm-hmm. There are days where you will not feel like you're getting anything done, and that is okay. I'm almost choking up on this. Like, everyone needs to take cleansing breaths and know that whatever you achieve is okay mm-hmm. in that moment. And because there will be days where you feel like you're like a whirling dervish, you're getting everything done, you're getting everything organized, you're planning your meals, you're, you know, ordering your shopping from the grocery store to pick up and super amazing. And then there are other days where you're like, oh, I have no energy. I can't even get myself in the shower. And that's okay.
Yeah. Yep.
I think we've been living in the stress response, the fight or flight. Mm-hmm. And so many of us are holding our breath, mm-hmm. waiting for the next thing that's going to hit us. And we've been doing it for too long. So now we have to start letting that breath back in and taking our time and being kind to ourselves. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what I'm trying to teach people in my business too, is that, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day. We just got to start. Just got to start is another thing too. Just pick something.
Yeah. So for people who are in Wisconsin, who are like, oh, I wonder where Zeddy's practice is. I was realizing, I didn't even ask you this. Do you have a website or a way that they can get a hold of you?
I do. My website is www.zippypt.com. Zippy.
Zippy? Z-I-P-P-Y?
Z-I-P-P-Y. Yep.
That was my elf name at our Christmas party. I was Zippy Pinecone Cheeks.
So Zippy was a nickname. You know, my name is Zeddy.
Yeah.
When we were sailing 20 years ago around the world, we went to Tonga, and there was a dive instructor there that we did some diving with, and he got everybody else's name right. He was Dutch, so it was a different language for him, but everybody else's name he got right, but he called me Zippy instead of Zeddy. And it kind of has stuck along the way as a nickname. Everyone thought that was hilarious. So I've been Zippy. And so it also works well with, I'm mobile. So I'm in my car driving around people's houses. I'm Zippy. So zippypt.com. And I'm in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin. Okay. I probably don't say that with a Wisconsin accent, but I'm willing to travel, you know, half an hour out of, you know, around my area, or more even if people really want me to come and see them. So,
Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast. I know this was a little longer, but I truly enjoyed it, especially learning all about your nomadic lifestyle and just, yeah, how much you've accomplished in the last 6 months. Like, I think we need to hear more stories about people who have accomplished and done during the pandemic. You know, I just think if you focus on your home and you focus on yourself, that you can get in the right headspace and you can still be making progress in the areas that matter most to you.
Right. I think starting my own business has really been great for my mindset because it has given me a sense, well, you know, Maslow's hierarchy of needs. I'm at self-actualization now. Like all of a sudden I've gone from the physiological needs of my children and my home to really hitting the top of the pyramid. And it does amazing things for your self-confidence and your self-belief to do something like that. I kind of skipped out that my house is not perfectly organized, but I know that I can do it now. Like I have the right mindset for it. So it may take me another 5 years, but I'm okay with that. So
yeah. Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. Yeah.
Are you ready to share your transformational story with me and the rest of the Organize 365 community? We would love to hear it. Please go to organize365.com/Wednesday and fill out an application. I cannot wait to see your application in my email inbox.